picture of shepherding and sheep, flocks of sheep, and the shepherd is a common, frequent, biblical idea. The relationship between God and his creation, his people, is often pictured in terms of the shepherd and the sheep. Both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, in the early days when the people of Israel had wandered through the desert, Moses was getting old, and he knew that his time was days were numbered, and he was concerned about the future of the people. He prayed to the Lord these words: "May the Lord, the God of the spirits of all mankind, appoint a man over this community to go out and to come in before them, one who can lead them out and bring them in, so that the Lord's people will not be like sheep without a shepherd." And the immediate answer to that prayer was the provision of Joshua to take the place of Moses as the leader and shepherd of the people. And when David was appointed by God to lead and to be king of Israel, he said to David on one occasion, "I've took you from being a shepherd to make you shepherd over my people." David himself, of course, was familiar with the idea, and it comes out in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." In the book of Ezekiel, David, the picture of David is used to refer to Christ in the great promises of Ezekiel, predicting the future of God coming to his people. Likens and says, "I'm going to provide a David for you. David will be provided to shepherd the sheep." And so the idea of being a shepherd, it's found, of course, in the New Testament. Jesus has a parable, doesn't he, of the lost sheep. But now we turn to John chapter 10, where there's an extended picture that Jesus gives of the shepherd and the sheep. Sheep, of course, referring to ourselves. When we are thinking about sheep, we have to envisage or think about ourselves as being sheep. And the question for us is who is our shepherd this morning? I want to give a sort of an overview of John's teaching in John chapter 10. The chapter starts with a sort of Eastern picture of shepherding. The method of sheep rearing in those days was rather different from the way that we see it today, if we see it. And the picture of the Eastern system of shepherding is given for us in the early verses of John chapter 10. Let me just describe it to you. There would be a sheepfold. The idea is in the text of a sheepfold. That is a protective wall or barrier in which the sheep would take refuge, presumably at night time. The shepherds from various places would bring their sheep into the sheepfold. Now, the sheepfold was big enough to house more than one flock. There were different flocks all come together. The sheepfold was a shared facility for many shepherds to bring their flocks, and at night time they would push them into the folds, and their shepherds would be able to go to sleep somewhere, and the shepherd would provide a watchman who would sit at the gate overnight while the shepherds were having their rest. There would be someone who would, the sheepfold of course had a gateway, a doorway where the sheep could come and go, so that was the vulnerable point, so that the watchman, the night watchman, would keep guard over the various flocks until it was safe, until the shepherds returned to take their flock once again out to pasture. So when the morning would come, each shepherd would come, and he would call out his sheep from the mass of the various flocks. Each shepherd would take his particular flock and lead them out to pasture for the day. He would call them and the sheep would recognize their particular shepherd, and they would follow him, and he would lead them to pasture. That's the kind of picture that we have in mind, and upon which Jesus bases his teaching. Now, I want to say to you three things, really. I'm talking, in a sense, really about three kinds of sheep, I suppose. There are different kinds of sheep, there are different kinds of people. We may all be sheep, but whether we are the sheep, is another matter. The first thing is that there are sheep who belong to the Good Shepherd. There are sheep who belong to the Good Shepherd. And what I'm saying is there are people who belong to Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is their Lord and their Master. So there are sheep who belong to the Good Shepherd. In verse 29 of our passage, I'll refer to texts that come from various portions of John 10, just so you know where I'm coming from. These sheep, says Jesus, have been given to me by my Father. That's verse 29. My Father who has given them to me. So these sheep they belong to the Good Shepherd. They belong to Jesus because the Father has given them to him. They're like a gift to his Son. They were chosen before the world was made and reserved at that time to be Christ's. They were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, set aside to belong to Christ. So they were given to Christ by his Father. At some time during their life, these people heard the voice of the shepherd. They heard the voice of the shepherd calling them at some particular time. They didn't know that they had been chosen before the foundation of the world, but they only came to understand that afterwards. But at some time, they were called. Now, I don't know whether that's been your experience. I was called by Jesus Christ in 1958. That dates me. That makes me very old. It makes me feel very old because it was last century. But at a point in my life, because I had in eternity past been given to Jesus by his Father, Jesus spoke to me through the gospel and called me to himself. And in 1958, I became one of Jesus' sheep. I was drawn to Christ. And because I was drawn to him and because I became one of his children then, I am very precious to Jesus. Because they were a gift, because these sheep were a gift by the Father to the Son, they are very special. You have certain things that are given to you by people you love, and they are treasures, aren't they? You keep them safe, because not because of what the thing is, but because of who gave it to you. And so it is with his sheep. These sheep that belong to Jesus Christ, they are very precious to the shepherd, the Good Shepherd, because the Good Shepherd was given them by his Father. So they belong to him, and because they were given to him by his Father. And they are of the flock of the Good Shepherd, because the Good Shepherd gave his life for them. Verse 11 tells us that. I lay down my life for the sheep. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now, and that means more than just he expended lots of time for their benefit, for their good. It means actually he died for them, which may seem a rather strange thing to say, because a shepherd who dies in caring for the sheep is not really much good for the sheep, is he? Because he's not there anymore to look after the sheep. So that's a rather strange kind of picture. But nevertheless, it's true. The normal circumstances for a shepherd to die for the sheep doesn't really help the sheep at all. But in this particular relationship, because the relationship, the parable, the story, the illustration breaks down at certain points. But in these cases, these sheep that we're talking about were sinful people. And these people needed forgiveness. And forgiveness requires sacrifice, as we've been looking at our text from Isaiah 53. So the shepherd, in this case, gave his life for the sheep in that he died for them to forgive them for all their sins. Contrary to reason, the death of this shepherd does bring salvation to the sheep. And in any case, with this shepherd, he not only died but rose again. I lay down my life for the sheep and I take up my life again. No one takes it from me. So this shepherd lives forever. He's an ever-living, eternal shepherd. And therefore his death is not a mistake or a failure in any kind, but it served us. So these particular sheep, they belong to the shepherd. The shepherd gave himself for them in that he died for them. He died for their sins. He died to bring them to salvation. These sheep who belong to the shepherd, most of the sermon is about these particular sheep who belong to the shepherd. These sheep, they know him and they recognize his voice. The second part of verse 3 and also verse 4. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them. And his sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will never follow a stranger. In fact, they'll run away from a stranger, but they follow the voice of the shepherd. These sheep, they heard, as I said earlier, these sheep heard his voice when he spoke to them through the gospel. And that voice was a gracious, kind voice which said to them, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." It was an invitation to come. The voice of the shepherd was a kindly voice, an inviting voice that addressed the needs of the sheep and your needs. And if you are converted to Christ, if you know Christ, you will know the comforting voice of the Saviour. You will remember when he first spoke to you in the gospel. But that voice that you heard when he called you to himself in the first instance is a voice that keeps coming to you and that you keep on hearing. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them. They know me. They recognize my voice. There's recognition. Sometimes when people phone you up, certain people when they phone you up, will not disclose who they are. They will not give a name. They just expect you could see them through the phone, and you can't. And you think, who's this speaking? And they won't disclose it. But people that ring you frequently, you recognise them, don't you? Because you know the voice, so they don't need to disclose who they are. And you, oh yeah, because it's so and so. Well, in similar fashion, these sheep know their shepherd's voice. All the different flocks in the pound. When the shepherds came, there were several flocks. You would think they would get all mixed up, but they don't, because each group of sheep knew the voice of their shepherd. And those who belong to the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, recognize the voice of Jesus Christ when they hear it. And it's a voice that keeps on coming to them. It's a voice that speaks to them, and it speaks to them through the Word. His voice comes through Scripture. Not voices you hear in the night. It's not product of your own imagination. It is the voice of the shepherd comes through his word, through the Scripture itself. And with that word, he feeds us. The words are like food to our souls. We hear the voice of Jesus and we recognize it. And we lap up the words of Jesus. We relish the word. It's like a meal set before us as he speaks to us through his word. There is a personal relationship, you see, between the shepherd and the sheep. And between every true Christian and Jesus Christ, there is a personal relationship, and they hear his voice. And this shepherd who speaks to his sheep also protects his sheep. You see, we live, as we know this week, from this week, if ever we need to be reminded, we live in a very dangerous world, a world where there are many threats. And there are threats to our faith, as well as to ordinary everyday life. So in this chapter, taking a glimpse at it from a distance, you can see that there are threats, predators. The sheep are always in danger. He talks about thieves and robbers in verse 1. And in verse 5, he talks about strangers, and they are kind of strangers who will do harm. And in verse 10, a thief who comes only to kill and destroy. And verses 12 and 13, he talks about a wolf coming. So the sheep are always under threat. There's always a danger afoot for these sheep. But their shepherd looks after them. He cares for them. He protects them. Those who are predators will not get their sheep. They might try. These predators are false teachers who are very persuasive, who say very attractive things, who draw people after them. They pretend to be religious people. They tend to be religious people sometimes. They pretend to be Christians. But they are false shepherds. They are thieves and robbers. Because their concern is not for the salvation of the sheep. Their concern is just to fill their own pockets, to serve their own ends. That's a terrible thing to say. But there are many who do that, who offer a false gospel, who preach things that are not true. And there's always a danger for Christian people that they will be led astray by those who are false teachers. But those who are truly sheep of the Good Shepherd will not follow a stranger's voice. They may hear it, they may be momentarily attracted to what appears to be something very special and wonderful, but if it is false, they will not follow it. Why won't they? Well, because they know the voice of their shepherd. They know the voice, they know the true voice, and they love the shepherd whom they serve, and they will not follow anybody else. So though these voices may come over and be very persuasive, those who are true sheep will never follow a false shepherd. But there are false shepherds, and they pose a danger. But the good shepherd looks after his sheep, protects his sheep, speaks to his sheep, warns his sheep. And he, a faithful shepherd who keeps his sheep. So that is one kind of sheep. There are sheep who belong to the good shepherd. They were given to him by his father. He gave his life for them. They recognize his voice and they know him, and he protects them. And that's a wonderful thing. Do you know yourself to be one of those sheep? Can you say this morning, I know what you're saying, I treasure that relationship, I know that Jesus Christ is my shepherd, the good shepherd. I know that I'm one of his sheep. I heard his voice, I hear his voice, I follow him, I know him, I'm never going to leave him, I'm going to follow him all the days of my life. I ask you that because we need to think about that, because it's important that you know. Just to say that there are other sheep in this passage. There are sheep then, secondly, this is second, it won't be so long. Secondly, there are sheep who do not belong to the flock of the Good Shepherd. There are sheep who do not belong to the flock of the Good Shepherd. In verse 25 and verse 26 and verse 27, Jesus makes that very plain to some of the people he was talking to. And because of their attitude to him, he is able to say, you are not my sheep. You do not believe, he says. You do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. But because you won't listen, you're not my sheep. Well, you're not my sheep because you don't listen. He could tell they were not his sheep because they didn't respond to him, you see. Jesus knows his own people because his own people respond to his voice. But when Jesus speaks to these people, there's no response. He speaks to them, but they don't listen. He calls them to come to him and to believe in him, but they won't come. He speaks to them, but they shut their ears. They may want to come to church. They may come Sunday by Sunday to church. They may not, of course, but they may. But really, they show no interest. They're happy to be in a social community. They're happy to sing the hymns, but they don't want to know about Christ. And they're very ready to follow any kind of system that presents itself as attractive. And one moment they're over there, and then they leave and go somewhere else, and they're listening to that thing, and then they go to this group and that group and another group. They're all over the place because they're lost sheep, still lost sheep. But they refuse the gospel, and therefore they're not sheep. They won't admit to their need of a saviour. And even when they come to the point of death, they still will not come to accept the Christ, the only person who could save them. And these people, these sheep, they won't ever belong. They will never come to faith. They will never repent. Jesus didn't die for them. They weren't given to Christ in eternity past. They're lost sheep. Sheep who don't belong to the flock of the Good Shepherd. We were on holiday some years ago in the Lake District, and we watched with fascination a shepherd bringing his sheep down from the hills. You know, the sheep in the Lake District and other places, they scatter all over the hills, miles and miles, square miles after square mile. And then when the shepherd needs to be sorted or treated or whatever, or shorn, the dogs come out, and he gathered all the sheep into the fold, and he brought them down the hill, and there was a big stone wall, a pound, where, just like in the Bible times, the shepherd put all his sheep into this fold. It was just a mass of sheep, and once he got them all in the wall and had sealed off the doorway, he then went in amongst the sheep, and it was most strange because he was grabbing certain sheep and throwing them, literally throwing them out over the wall, out to the outside, one after another. Why was that? Why was he doing that? Why was he having spent all his time to get the sheep together in the compound? Then he was going, and certain ones he was picking hold of them and chucking them out. Well, because they weren't his sheep. You see, they'd come down from the hills, but the dogs had rounded them up, but they didn't belong to him at all. They got a different number on the thing. So he kicked them out. See, there are sheep who do not belong to the Good Shepherd. And that's a fearful prospect. And you should know that. Those sheep, to use another of the parables of Jesus, will in the last day be recognized not as sheep but as goats. And that's a stark truth. Not everybody belongs to the Good Shepherd. They may sing "The Lord's My Shepherd" every week, but they're not true sheep of the Shepherd because they do not follow his voice. But then thirdly and lastly, there's another group of sheep. And they're mentioned in verse 16 of our passage, where Jesus says, "I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd." So there are sheep who do belong to Jesus now and who are his sheep now. And there are people who are sheep who do not belong to the shepherd at all. Never will be. But then there's a third group. There are sheep who are his, But they have not yet been brought in. They are reserved for Christ. They were given to Christ in eternity past. Christ, when he died upon the cross, did die to take away their sins. But at the moment, they don't know that. They don't know that. They're still out there somewhere. They don't know who Jesus is. They're not believing. They may be living godless lives. They may be very rebellious people. They may be atheistic people. They may be Muslim people. They may be Hindu people. But they are his. They are his. But they've not yet been brought to him. Now one day, the shepherd will go looking for them. One day they will hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. And when the Good Shepherd goes after them and finds them, they will respond to the Good Shepherd. Although they're not responsive at the moment, though they're not believing at the moment, they will, when the Shepherd speaks to them, when he calls them, they will come to him and they will be brought into the fold of the sheep of the Good Shepherd. They will listen to his voice, they will respond to his voice, they will go on responding to his voice, and they will follow him all the days of their life. They will be baptized. They will become church members. They will grow as Christians and develop as Christians and get to know the Saviour and perhaps even become better Christians than we are. So that's an exciting possibility, isn't it? We don't know who those people are. Only Jesus does. Only the Good Shepherd does. But let's remember that. Let's pray for such people and pray that God would be gracious to them. So this morning, just let me remind you, there are those sheep that belong to the Good Shepherd. Do you know that to be your situation? Are you rejoicing in that? Do you know that that's true? Do you know the Saviour? Does he know you? Do you hear his voice, and are you following him? There is the possibility, the sad, the terrible possibility that you're not one of Jesus' sheep. Because you're not listening, and you're not hearing, and you're not trusting in Christ. You hear it all the time, but you're not responding to the gospel. Well, it may be that you know in your heart you're not one of Christ's sheep. But let me say to you, don't write yourself off, because it may be that the shepherd is looking for you and that he will speak to you. And in the meantime, let me ask you, if you know in your deepest heart that you're not one of Christ's sheep, let me say to you, do you want to be? Do you have a deep desire really to be a Christian? Well, pray to the shepherd. Ask the shepherd to come to you. Ask the shepherd to speak to you. Ask him to come and save you and bring you into his fold, where you'll be safe forever, where he will feed you, where he will protect you, where he will be your Saviour, your Lord, and your King. Well, my God, may God give grace this morning. We're going to sing